What is it that God's asking you to do? You know, I have a to-do list, and I also have a to-be list. And I write on my to-be list things that I need to improve. Yeah. If my attitude dropped today, I'll write down tomorrow. Keep your attitude up all day. Right. Just a little bit. No one might notice it, but I will. So I'll write little things down and try to improve 1% a day, little by little.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope Oahu. If you ever look in the mirror and become discouraged because you're so far from reaching your goals, don't give up, my friend. You can make it if you just move forward little by little. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was taking us through the process Japan took to get back on its feet after World War II. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Little by Little.
Right after World War II, General MacArthur sent an expert in improving and in success principles. His name was Dr. W. Edwards Deming. Sent him into Japan because Japan had been devastated by the atomic bomb. And so he said, we need to send some people in there to help them build their businesses back. Well, Dr. Edward Deming went in there and said to the Japanese businesses, if, among other principles, but this is the main one, he said, if you will improve something about your product, something, doesn't have to be a lot, just 1%, every day, just look for something to improve, anything, the balance of your pistons, he said to Honda, or the way that you shave your piston rings to Toyota, to get it more precise, to machine it just a touch more, take a little bit more time. He gave him this tall promise. He said, if you'll do that, in 10 years, you'll turn your economy around. In 20 years, you'll be a world power. And in 30 years, people will be buying products from Japan and trying to keep up with you. Well, the Japanese people took that and accepted it hook, line, and sinker. They said, let's just go for it. In fact, they even coined a new word for it. The word is Kaizen. Kaizen. Kaizen means constantly improve little by little. Say that. Kaizen.
Kaizen.
Yeah, that's it. Little by little. Well, they did it. And they machined their engines just a little bit more. They refined it. Their design was a little bit better. They got their technology just little by little. And sure enough, in 10 years, their economy had turned around. And in 20 years, they became a world power. And today, in the United States of America, besides China, we owe the most money to Japan. They own of our stock market nearly $1 trillion they have bought. And if you look at things that Japanese have made, whether it's Sony or Canon cameras, the technology is amazing. All of the world is trying to figure out what they're doing. How'd they get there? Little by little. And I want to encourage you with that principle. It's straight out of the book of Exodus. Little by little. Improve something about yourself. Because you see, if you improved 1% a day, at the end of the year, you will have improved yourself 365%. Now, if Japan can do that for their economy, I think we can do that for Jesus. Is that right? Do that for Jesus. Then the church begins to rise. Not just talk about rising, rise. But it's little by little. So do something. Tomorrow morning, do something, you know? Put on deodorant under both arms instead of just one. Tie your shoes, comb your hair, shave, something. Change your shirt. Oh, you did. Yeah. He's one of the nicest Indians I've ever met. That's it. But whatever God shows you, be faithful to that. He won't say you got to be a Kenyan. He just says, just be a little bit better. Just a little. What is it that God's asking you to do? You know, I have a to-do list, and I also have a to-be list. And I write on my to-be list things that I need to improve. If my attitude dropped today, I'll write down tomorrow, keep your attitude up all day. Just a little bit. No one might notice it, but I will. Another one was, my mind started straying from time to time. So I wrote on my to-be list, tomorrow, Lord Jesus, here's my prayer. Please be pleased with my thoughts today. I want that to be my prayer. Be pleased with my thoughts today. So I'll write little things down and try to improve 1% a day on the to-be list. You know, it's in the book of Psalms 119, verse 105. You know this verse. It says this, thy word is a lamp unto my and a light unto my. Yeah. Now, thy word, when I read God's word, he's going to give you something that's going to just sparkle. Have you ever been reading the Bible and after about, 15 or 20 verses, a verse just boom, pops out at you? Yeah, I call that the Holy Ghost highlighter. He just highlighted something for you. And what that means is there's something in there you have to apply. It's for you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Now, when he gives you something little, maybe about your attitude, your spirit, your smile, lack thereof, whatever it might be, he's going to speak to you. And when he does, write it down. I got to work on this. In Matthew 10:27, what you whisper in my ear, shout from the housetops. What you say in the dark, speak in the light. Well, then I would write down, I need to listen more to God. Because the question isn't, is God speaking? The question is, am I listening? Because God is speaking. So tomorrow, I'm just going to sit and listen for 5 minutes. Just say, Jesus, would you just talk to me? How's my marriage doing? How's my worship? How's my heart? My sincerity? Or am I just contriving stuff? Or am I doing things ostensibly rather than genuinely? Lord, would you make sure that there's no pretense in my heart? Lord, what about my family? How am I doing there? And I'll just listen. And he might say, take your wife out on a date, you know, take her to dinner. And or do this or do that. And so, yep, got honey, hey, how's about a date tonight, baby? Really? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, great. I'm there. Good. Me too, baby. So just kind of apply. Because watch this. In the old times, a lamp was just something really small. It was probably about just this big, like this. And it had a little bowl on it with some olive oil and a wick that floated. Now, this is called a lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my. Now, when I lit this candle here, as it were, it only would give me enough light about 1 meter in circumference. That's it. It's not, it's just enough light. Listen, it was only enough light for the next step. Well, I can't see beyond it. It's dark. Yeah, but if you take one step in the light that you see, it'll light up your next step. You got to walk to the end of your light to get light for the next step. Walk again, it'll go to the next. Walk again, it'll go to the next. Little by little. Why? Because God is developing in you faith that you must have courage to walk to the end of that light. That's all the light I have. Then walk to the end of it. I didn't ask you to walk beyond it. Just walk to the end of it. Now watch this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. But if you turn around, he's been a light unto my path. How'd you get this far? Little by little. Little by little. Because what did he build in the way? Direction? No. Trust. Faith. Willing to take a risk and step out of your comfort zone and go to the end of what you know. Because God's going to just reveal to you little and see if you're faithful to it. Because if you're not, why should he show you more? It's in Luke chapter 20. Some Pharisees came around Jesus and they folded their hands and they said, who gave you authority to say things like this, like you're teaching? And Jesus counter-questions them. He said, that's a good question. Let me ask you a question. Ooh, they said, really? Okay, what? The calling of John the Baptist, do you think his anointing was like made up? Or do you think it was really from God? What do you think? Well, they said, well,
let's huddle up. So they huddled up. What do you think? I don't know. If we say that his calling was from God, then Jesus is going to ask us, then why didn't we believe him? Oh, no, we don't want to believe him. No. And if we say it's from man, oh, there's people around that like John. They're going to get mad at us. Oh, yeah, we have to just make sure people like us. So what are we going to say? Oh, man, I don't know. Hey, that's a good idea. Let's just tell them we don't know. Oh, okay. All right. Break. All right. We got the answer. Yeah, what is it?
We don't know.
And Jesus says something really interesting. Jesus said, then if you answer it that way, that you don't know, Jesus said, then neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. You say, well, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. Here's what Jesus was saying. If you know that his calling was from heaven. You know that God had sent him, right? But you just didn't want to admit it. Here's what Jesus was saying. So, if you can't be accountable to the truths you already know, why should I reveal to you truths that you don't yet know? If you can't walk to the end of the light that you already have, why should I give you more? If you can't be faithful in the little, how are you going to be faithful in the much? And if you can't be accountable to the truths you've already been given, why should I give you more stuff? For if you can't be accountable to the truths that you already know, why should I give you truths that you don't yet know? So he grows us little by little. One of the things I was struggling with was tripping over again and again that God really spoke to me, and I'm just going to kind of open up the curtain, all right? Was in the area of forgiveness. Not in forgiving others, but asking God for forgiveness for myself. Because see, I was tripping over the same thing I'd been tripping over for a long time. Same sin I'd been repeating again after one, just kept repeating it. But every time I did the sin, I'd feel terrible about it. Oh, God, I shouldn't have talked bad about that person or whatever it was. And I said, oh, God, I just forgive me. So, okay. Next day, I talk bad about somebody else. Oh, God, forgive me. And God would forgive. How many of you believe God forgave me when I asked him?
Yeah.
And then I'd repeat it again. And then I started using it like, God forgives me anyway. So I would do it and he'd forgive me again. Every time I asked him for forgiveness, do you think he'd forgive me? Everybody say yes. Yeah, but watch this. Now, watch this. Now, every time I asked him for forgiveness, he forgave me. By the way, how many of you struggle with the same sin, repeating it over and over again? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Yeah, makes me feel better. So, okay. So, I thought I was the only one, but there's, I want to tell you that, okay, this is going to sound like heresy, Pastor, but stay with me, all right? Because I leave tomorrow and you have to clean it up, so. But I want to talk to you about the danger of forgiveness, okay? Watch. I do something bad. Oh, God, forgive me. I forgive you, son. Thank you. I do it again. Oh, man, forgive me. Yeah, forgiven. Whew, yeah. Do it again. Forgive me. Oh, God forgives me. Oh, wonderful. Then I do it again. It's like I didn't change. It was almost like I was asking God for permission so I can keep doing it. Forgiveness was not God's permission for you to continue. It is God's power for you to be delivered. Let me say that again. You got to hear this. Getting God's forgiveness isn't like getting God's permission for you to continue in that. Yeah. It's receiving God's power to be delivered from that and be free from that. Yeah. So God gives you forgiveness and grace, and you change. God's grace and forgiveness changes you. It's like this. Let's say, what's your name again? Yeah. James? All right. Let's say James is my son. And he comes to me and he says, Dad, do you have proms here, like high school proms and stuff? Yeah. So, Dad, there's a prom I want to really go to. I said, good, James, good. But, Dad, I need like a tuxedo, one of those really nice white things. So I said, oh, man, that's expensive to rent one of those. Yeah, I know, Dad, I know. Okay, but I'll get you one. Okay. Well, I get this beautiful tuxedo for James. Whoo, he looks dashing. He looks wonderful. One of the problems is, as he's going to the prom, he sees a mud puddle. And when he was growing up, he loved to roll around in mud puddles. It called to him like a pig. He just wanted to, oh. So on the way to the prom, James sees a mud puddle, looks around. Oink, 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 and he just goes. Then he's like, what have I done? What have I done? He comes back to me, Father, Father, forgive me. I mud puddled. Oh, what do I do? Oh, James, it's all right. Take that off. I'll get you another one. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. No problem. I love you. I love you. So he gets all washed up, nice new tuxedo. Oh, so now, son, go. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad. And he goes and sees a bigger mud puddle. Fights the temptation with all he's got, but all of a sudden, going, 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 going. Now, he comes back to me, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. And I say, I forgive you, I forgive you. Now listen, if he did that 50 times, I would still forgive him. But I listen carefully. I can forgive him 100 times, but the problem is, you'll never get to the prom. You'll never make it to the party. You understand? God wants you to make it to the party. He wants you to get there so he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well, I want him to forgive me. How many times do you want him to forgive you? 50, 100? Oh, how's about 70 times 7? Yeah, he'll forgive you, but you'll never make it to the party. And his goal isn't just to get you another tux. It's so that you make it to the party of the Father. And he'll rejoice over you. Don't get the wrong theology about forgiveness. My Father forgives, but his goal isn't to get you another tux, it's to get you to the party. Amen. That was a good point. You should write that one down. But let me wrap it up with this. God's going to work with you little by little. Find someone that you can pace that's kind of where you are and just a little bit more. So you improve 1% a day. You'll be over 365% improvement. And when I come back in 7 years, six, whatever, you guys will be like amazing. Be tremendous. I'll try to get him to invite me back sooner, but it's been tough. And but you know what I'm saying? Improve little by little. Watch what God has in store. But here's the cool thing. I want you to see this. The last verse comes, and would you put that up? Yeah, let's read it together. Now, this is at the end of that little paragraph, Exodus 23. We come back to that and read it with me. Go. I will give into your hands the people who live in the land, and you will drive them out before. And who will? And?
You.
But who's going to give them to us? The first?
God.
Who's going to give it to us?
God.
So God's going to give into our hands the people who live in the land, and you will drive them out before you. Now, wait a minute. Aren't you going to do it? Yeah, I'll do it. I'll bring you the growth and the faith and the maturity. But you're going to have to drive out the temptations yourself. Oh, I'll take care of your growth and you making it to the party. But you got to partner with me in this. You don't just sit and observe and consume. There's something you need to do. Start small, but start now. What do you need to do now? Well, I've been just kind of giving a little bit. Well, give a little more. Let God start to stretch your faith. Well, I can't give like somebody else. No. Little by little. And in a year you can, because God's going to build your faith commensurately. Go to the edge of your light, and God will show you the next step. But God will do it, but you have a part in it. But in the end, it won't be your doing.
It'll be God's. Let me finish with this. When I was 19 years old, I went into the ministry. I was a youth pastor at 21, and I'd been in the ministry since then. So it's 40-some years that I've been in full-time ministry, and I've done nothing else. And, just recently, we kind of refurbished our family farm in Oregon, and one of the things I wanted to do was learn to weld. Is that what you call it here, welding? And because I just want to do, you know, a man thing. And so I said, I want to weld. So I bought this welder, you know, and so I tried welding. And I have horses. I love horses. So we've got 15 horses that we board at the farm, and I own two of them. And but I wanted to weld some saddle racks because they have Western saddles over there, not Australian, but Western saddles. So I wanted to build some racks, and they're pretty heavy, so I thought I'd weld. So I'm trying to weld, and the stuff's not working too well. So there's a man down the street that's an old gruff farmer, and he's a welder. And so his name is Bill. So I Bill Swaggerty. So I drove to his house, and I said, Bill, will you teach me how to weld? I'm trying to weld saddle racks. It's just not working. He said, yeah, I'll teach you how to weld. I said, well, what should I do? He said, bring your welder over. So I said, all right, I'll bring it over. So I went home, and I put my welder in the glove box, and I drove to his to his farm, and I took the thing out. I said, there it is. He said, whoa. So I said, well, you know, I'm welding with it. I bought it. It cost me $100. So I was welding, and he said, no. Let me get my welder. You don't have enough heat on your welder. So he brings his out. It's this massive thing like on train tracks. Plugs it into a nuclear plant. And he starts this thing up, and I mean, sparks are going everywhere. I run outside of the shop, and he's welding. And then he says, there it is. I said, wow, that's a beautiful saddle rack. He said, all right, now grind it down. So I got some sandpaper out. Shh. He said, no. He got his grinder, and the wheel's about this big. And sparks are going everywhere. And I run outside his shop, and then he's there. There, how's that? I said, oh, man, that's beautiful. He said, now paint it. So I got a can of paint. He said, no. And he gets his paint gun. Wow, that's beautiful. We did 9 of them like that. And he said, all right, I'll take it with you to your house, and I'll help you hook it up. I said, all right, Bill, come on. So I put it in the back of my pickup, and then I drive home, and he's there with me. Oh, man, Bill, thanks so much. No problem. And I stop, and my wife comes out, and I open the back of my pickup. I say, honey, look what I made. And Bill was so nice, he looked at me and said, yeah, he did good. I didn't do a thing except run out of the shop and back. And then I looked at that later and I thought, that's just like God, isn't it? He just wants us around. He's going to teach us. But I will drive them out. I'll take care of that. But you're going to have your part in it too. You write down what I'm asking you to do, little by little. And be faithful to what I ask. Even if it's to start a to-be list, and I say, change your devotions tomorrow. Add 5 minutes. Add 4 minutes. I want you to encourage 5 people. No, 3 people tomorrow. Encourage 3 people tomorrow. Can you be faithful to that? Because if I can't be accountable to the truths he reveals, why should he reveal any more? Little by little. And when you do, one day you'll turn around and see that he has been a light unto your path. Remember this. Faith is living in advance what you'll only understand in reverse. And you'll look back one day and you'll say, I made it to the party, and that has made all the difference. Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Little by Little by Dr. Wayne Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope Oahu. Thank you for listening.
What is it that God's asking you to do? You know, I have a to-do list and I also have a to-be list. And I write on my to-be list things that I need to improve. Yeah. If my attitude dropped today, I'll write down tomorrow, keep your attitude up all day. Just a little bit. No one might notice it, but I will. So I'll write little things down and try to improve 1% a day, little by little.
For Pastor Wayne and all the New Hope family, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.